Good afternoon, my AOWs. So excited to be back for a brand new episode. Today, I have an incredible guest on the show, Paula Bowers, who wrote the book Mind Over Menopause, Lose Weight, Love Your Body, and Embrace Life After 50 with a Powerful New Mindset. This book is an amazing accompanies to all the things that we need to do to align ourselves and get our minds right when it comes to how our bodies shift and change throughout the menopause transition. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy this incredible conversation, and I hope you head over to Amazon soon to get her book. And just a quick plug, mine too. All right, see you on the other side. Welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch, a podcast dedicated to uncovering many of the women's health issues many of us are wondering about, but few of us are talking about. My mission is to expose the current gaps in knowledge and care on all things women's health. Enjoy. Paula, I am so excited to talk about Mind Over Menopause today. And I love uplifting books about midlife and menopause. You cannot get enough of them. And I'm so excited because we were just saying before we started recording, like, you should definitely bundle Unlock Your Menopause Type, small plug, with Mind Over Menopause, because I love your aspect. I love the cognitive behavioral aspect of your book, which we're going to get into. So as the author of Mind Over Menopause, welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to talk about how we are going to bundle our books together.
Because we just decided this right now, but I think they actually make, they make a great pairing. Well, tell me, audience, a little bit about you and sort of how your menopause transition probably inspired your book.
Yes, it did. Well, so I am actually a YouTuber originally. I came to social media through YouTube. I was a fitness trainer for many years. I loved fitness after more than 30 years of being the most unathletic, uncoordinated person I'd ever met in my entire life. Suddenly I discovered that I could exercise and really enjoyed it. I became a runner.
Amazing. So,
as you know, because I've been on your website and I saw your picture of the Boston Marathon, once you become a runner, you become a marathoner. And then sometimes once you become a marathoner, you become an ultra marathoner. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes once you become an ultra marathoner, all of a sudden you're doing everything for endurance. And then you start going through menopause and your body's like, oh, no, everything not that you so were much. Doing, we don't like that
we
so
don't.
Much anymore.
Yeah.
So I was a fitness trainer on YouTube, loving life, running long miles, feeling amazing, helping women, you know, feel good and exercise. Then my late 40s happened. And right around the time that perimenopause was like being really weird with my body, my older sister also died and my kids went off to college. And all of a sudden I just had like a body I didn't recognize, a life I didn't recognize, a family I didn't recognize. And I was like, okay, everything's falling apart. And it really, I mean, it literally felt like I was physically falling apart also. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, something's got to be done here. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out all the things about menopause and grief and just midlife to be able to feel like myself again.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I found out that being perimenopausal does not go well with exercising really hard the way I had done my whole life. Mm-hmm. And for me, the over-exercising led to weight gain, which was a big surprise that most women are not like prepared to hear.
We are definitely going to talk about that.
Yes, exactly. Because I mean, everybody's like, oh, well, of course you're going to gain weight with menopause, but like you don't have to. There are things you can do, such as not exercising all the time like you used to.
Yeah.
That I really had to figure out, how can I embrace this?
Yeah.
How can I not feel angry and bitter for the rest of my life that my body has changed?
Right.
Because that was really important to me. Like, I don't want to be angry about menopause. I don't want to be bitter about my body. I want to love myself as much as I ever did. And I want to exercise in a way that feels good. I want to eat in a way that feels good. I just wanted to feel good.
Was it hard figuring that out?
Yeah.
I was going to say, was it hard to do that as a public figure? Like, I mean, as a YouTuber or someone who creates content, it's
I wonder what was it like to like shift your content, and like you can't do it privately because people are looking to you, or they're saying like, hey, where's your upload? Where's your new video? Where's this? Where's that? How was managing that as a public figure?
You know, it was so amazing because it turned out so many women in my audience were so ready for it.
Yeah.
When I first became a personal trainer, my very first client was my mom, who was like in her 70s at the time.
Yeah.
And then for a variety of reasons, it turned out that like a lot of the first clients that I attracted were older women.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd already had like a fair bit of experience, like exercising with older women and really like just listening to how they talked about their bodies and what they needed to do and what they needed to hear. I didn't fully understand all the like menopause piece of it, but I understood their relationships with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that like after I'd been exercising about, oh, let's be fit and let's be like, you know, strong and all that, all of a sudden, once I started talking about like, hey, menopause is here, let's talk about getting older. Let's mm-hmm. talk about what aging is doing to us. My audience was thrilled. They
oh,
were
wow.
so relieved to be like,
isn't that cool?
Somebody's talking about this.
Yeah. So it actually worked out so that you actually could have support and that actually you could provide almost like different content with a different spin. You mentioned your body didn't feel the same in perimenopause and the long endurance training wasn't working. When did you start to notice that? What were the clues you were getting? Because I think a lot of people could benefit from knowing like the clues that your body was subtly telling you that like what you used to do in love wasn't working anymore.
Okay, so the clues weren't very subtle. I was crying all the time. And I mean, some of it again was grief, but I could really feel the difference between like, okay, here's where I'm sad, but also here's where like I would go out for a run and it didn't feel good anymore. Like I felt sad after running instead of, you know, endorphins, always feeling so good, like get on with your day. It was like, I was burnt out. I felt tired. I felt crabby.
Yeah.
It was, for me, it was definitely more emotional than like really specific. And then once I noticed the emotions, I was like, oh, that's why I'm aching.
Hmm.
Oh, that's why I've lost my hunger cues.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's why I'm having trouble sleeping. Like once I recognized the emotional part of it, that's when I could really tune into, okay, my body has actually probably been sending me these cues for a while that I didn't notice till they got to the point where I was like, oh, okay, this is something I can really pay attention to. So I was tired. I wasn't enjoying things that I used to enjoy. I didn't feel depressed. It really wasn't only emotional. It was like, I was physically tired in ways that I'd never, never had before.
Mm-hmm.
So noticing that, and really, I think the loss of the hunger cues
mm-hmm.
was the most interesting thing for me, because I'd really spent a lot of years like paying attention, you know, fueling for endurance running means that you're always paying attention. Am I hungry? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't realized for a while that I was like, oh, I'm not very hungry. And now I'm also kind of under fueling
mm-hmm.
and over exercising. And then of course it showed up on the scale, and mm-hmm. it was very, like you said, subtle and also not subtle in like the emotional load that I felt. I also, weirdly, I have come to understand that when I feel like almost any kind of inflammation, like my fingers feel puffy, I'm like, oh, I overexercised.
Mm.
I hit that level of stress that my body just doesn't tolerate the way
mm-hmm.
that it used to. So I've really learned that there are more physical symptoms than I noticed at first.
Let's take a deep, deep dive into overexercising, because I see this too. As a menopause doctor, my patients come to me and they are amazing women, badass women trying to run companies and run households and run on their Peloton like 2 hours a day and eat like 200 calories. You know, they're trying because they're so scared to gain more weight, like literally scared. Let's talk about over-exercising. What the heck? How could you be over-exercising to the point of detriment? Explain it as if I was a third grader.
Okay. So everything is good for you right up until it's not.
Mm.
And when you were premenopausal, everything was good for you for a little bit longer than it is now. Now, when hormones do what they do, all of a sudden your body's like, yeah, you know what? That bell curve, it's curving over here now, and it's a little bit shorter than it used to be. Like you can still exercise, you can still do everything you want to do, but your recovery time is longer. The effect that it has on your body is different. It's time to make changes because over exercise used to be just exercise, but your body changed. So you gotta change habits.
What is the detriment to over-exercising?
So the one that women mostly notice, honestly, is just the weight gain. I mean, there are other detriments, I'm sure, but truly the one that we're, I mean, you know, we're all socialized to look a certain way and try and fit into a certain size and blah, blah, blah. I have opinions about that. And I have opinions about your healthy weight is both mental and physical and that kind of stuff. But one of the things that lots of us notice, especially those of us who love to exercise, is all of a sudden everything we've been doing is showing up on the scale in a different direction than it used to because we don't recover the way we used to. You can still
There it is, ladies. There it is. Listen to Paula. Yes, yes, yes. Keep going. Yes. We're not recovering. So that's making the scale almost go up. Tell me more.
Yes. So the scale goes up because of, I mean, it's usually a combination. The women that I work with, especially when they notice the first couple of pounds, then they're like, oh, I must be eating too much. So then they eat less. So they're under eating. And oh, I better exercise more. So they're over exercising. And that's just such a double whammy. Yeah. Our bodies need the recovery. They need the fuel. They need tender love and care that we used to be a little bit rougher around the edges with them. And now we got to take care of them a little bit more without over-exercising and without under-eating.
How do you get patients to change that mindset? Because I feel like if I told my patients, okay, you're under-eating or over-exercising, they would go, are you kidding me? I'm not going to change a thing. I'm scared. I am scared. And how do you, and probably there's keys in your book. There's things that you can probably do and teach to listen to your body. How do you get people, especially, let's actually talk about, I was going to say, especially people who love exercising, right? Yes. But how do you get the people to actually scale back exercise and eat more? How do you do that? Because as women, steps. we are so scared.
Exactly. Exactly. The big crux, honestly, of my book is to just listen to what you're telling yourself right now. Like that is the heart of cognitive behavioral therapy. Just don't be afraid of what you're telling yourself right now. Like come to your journal with a really open mind. No matter what comes out on the page, it's completely okay. And also understand that you have a lot of socialized thoughts. You have been hearing eat less and move more for 30 plus years.
Ever.
And it's not true anymore. So, I mean, my book is like, it's a combination of like, here's the science. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, layperson science. Let me be really clear, Dr. Hirsch, when you read my book, like, it's not going to go into it like your book.
I think that's amazing because I'm not a nutritionist and I'm not a fitness expert, you know? And so there are things that I don't know either.
Yeah. And I'm not a hormone expert. I understand, like, I do consider myself a menopause expert in terms of like, I understand the big picture of, here's what's going on with our bodies. We're just not recovering the way we used to. So that means that there are certain things that we have to do now. Like we have to eat to fuel what we're doing. We also have to just spend more time in recovery, which what I promote with my audience means that we're just exercising moderately every day so that you get that hit, you get to do something, and also your body has enough time to recover because you haven't pushed so hard. And I do find that, I mean, honestly, the biggest pushback I get is on both of those things. Like people come to me all the time, like, I can't eat that much and I can't exercise that little. And I say, let's just go find those thoughts. Here's your journaling prompts. Here's how we look for it. Let's just look at those thoughts in your brain and really understand that the science doesn't support that anymore. The science of what your body is telling you and what, you know, science says really supports you changing your habits, which means you need to understand that these thoughts aren't helpful. They're not taking you where you want to go. And in fact, they're taking you weirdly up on the scale instead of down.
You know, and I also find that I don't know how to say this in words that maybe you might better understand, but I feel like we are telling our body we hate it when we starve it and we make it over exercise. Yeah. And I think that manifests in our brains and in our body somehow. And we may not even be directly saying we hate you, but we are constantly in this punishment mode of like, if you're under eating, you're probably hungry. If you're over exercising, you're probably exhausted.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we're not being able to love our body. And sometimes I just tell my patients, and I wish I could just say like, I bet if you just, have you ever noticed when you go on vacation and maybe you eat that ice cream and you're not exercising and you come back and actually your pants fit? Have you ever noticed that? Whenever I go away, I actually come back and I feel really good. My body feels good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I loved my body so much on vacation. I didn't spend time hating it or whatever the word is, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that to be true? Do you find something in that, the way we talk to our body without really knowing that's what we're telling it when we're starving or we're over-exercising?
Very much so. And that really is the crux of the journaling that I offer in the book.
Yep.
When you I mean, for me personally, the conduit for being able to really like listen to my body and love my body was offering my brain the chance to just tell me what it was telling me. Like I did hear, I hate you thoughts. I did hear, I need to eat less and I need to move more and I have to punish myself because I gained weight. I mean, I heard all those ugly thoughts. Mm-hmm. And once I was like, just tenderly coming to my journal, like, you know what, brain, tell me anything you're thinking and it's totally okay. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I can do that for my body too. Like now I can come to my body and be like, you know what, body, what do you need? Do you need a little bit more sleep tonight? Do you need me to just like sit still for a little while? Do you actually need me to eat that ice cream? Because I will. So,
yeah.
So being able to like hear my brain really helped me to be able to hear my body too.
Yeah.
And when you can hear both of them, they're giving you all the information you need. They totally are. Your brain, well, okay. Your brain is telling you thoughts that are not necessarily good information. Your body has the good information and your brain has stuff that you need to like sort through.
When I was a long distance runner, I used to say things to myself like, oh, you only ran 6 miles today. Oh, you only ran 8 miles today. Gosh, 2 weekends ago, you ran 10.
Right.
Especially when you get that runner's high. And I love this idea of really taking to the journal and listening to your body and listening to your mind, because, you know, what is different about perimenopause and intermenopause is that truly your body is different. And as the clinician, I will say here, your body really is different and it's going to respond differently. You have to treat it differently. You have to think about things differently. And we don't like to do that, especially women. We are like to be in control. We like to be very busy. And so we want to stick with the routine that we've had for a really long time. And so I'm sure you did so much work into shifting and doing that with your audience and then putting it down into this book. And how was that like whole experience for you, just writing a book?
Okay. The writing the book was so much fun. You know, you know, because you wrote one too. I mean, so for me personally, ever since I was a kid, like I've always wanted to write a book. I thought it was going to be fiction. I really did for a long time. There was time in my 20s and 30s where I was like, I'm definitely going to write a book. And then I was like, I don't really know what I want to write about. And then by the time I, you know, got to this point, I was like, oh, I can actually help people by writing a book. Like it wasn't just about me wanting to, you know, tell a story, although I do tell stories in the book, but it was like, oh, I can actually help people in a way that feels like A, I'm getting a goal for myself because I wrote a book, but also is something that you can have in your hands and you can reference again and again. And I mean, don't you feel that way too? Like it's kind of this culmination of your own work where you're like, anybody could read this. I don't have to see them in my office. Mm-hmm. I don't have to meet them. I don't have to know them. I can help them.
Yeah. It is a really fun thought that you could be in someone's bed with them because I love reading in bed, right? Or their favorite chair. And they almost start to hear your voice and you can really help them with your book because as content creators, YouTubers, you know, social media people, we love being able to help mass amounts of people. And it's what we like to do. And books are sort of the oldest way of doing it. And for me, I found it was actually painfully slow. That was the part of it that was so hard for me, was how slow the process is considering how fast, you know, you can make social media and put it out into the world. But it really feels like it could be very intimate.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed you talked about that I want to ask you about is strength training and balance training.
Yes.
Especially for women. How did you incorporate more of that into your practice as your body was also changing? And what would you say to women who think that, you know, strength training or balance training is just like poo-poo, not going to burn enough calories for me?
Yeah. Which, I mean, you know, of course, that's what I hear all the time. Like, oh, I don't really like that. And I'm like, it doesn't really matter if you like it. There are things that we do. I mean, I don't personally clean the gutters. I do ask my husband to do that, but like the gutters need to be cleaned. You need to floss your teeth. Like there are things that we do that don't have to feel amazing. You don't have to get the endorphin high off of it. You can just do something because you know there's a payoff down the road. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I mean, I actually came to balance training from when I very first started running. I got injured all the time. Mm-hmm. Turns out I had terrible balance. I had no idea. I'd never tested it before. Mm-hmm. So my sports medicine doctor was like, you know, you should probably work on your balance and your core strength. And I was like, okay, anything that'll help me run better. I was all on board for it. Once I started doing like any kind of strength training or balance training, I was like, oh, I'm really bad at this. And so it became very obvious why I'd had so many injuries and what the problem was. And then I started enjoying it because I could see such a change. Like at that point, I'd already been running for long enough. Like I was running pretty fast. I was hitting my goals. I was doing stuff. So to be able to really see progress, I mean, I'm a goal girl. That's my job. That's what I do as a life coach. I help people set goals and get their goals. So being able to like set myself a small goal of, okay, I'm going to be able to stand on my right foot for 30 seconds at a time without falling over, mm-hmm. and being able to see the progress so quickly, that mm-hmm. became a more immediate pleasure as opposed to, oh, someday when I get old, I won't fall kind of a thing. It was like, no, these are immediate results right now. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother actually had, she had pretty bad osteoporosis. So mm-hmm. I had been aware of, you know, you got to worry about your bone density. There are things you can do. And I mean, my grandmother came from a time where women didn't really exercise, or if they did, they walked, you know.
Yeah.
And my mom the same way. I've been preaching strength training to my 80-year-old mother for years now, to small effect.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm doing my strength training. I'm doing the best that I can for my bones so that I can grow old gracefully and strong, because I've watched it in my family. I see it with countless other women. I mean, it's a simple fix. Doing mm-hmm. strength training helps. It makes mm-hmm. a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. And of course, you know, I always say more women suffer an osteoporotic fracture than from heart attacks, breast cancers, and strokes combined. It's so, so, so common. One in two women will have osteoporosis. And I think you said it kind of perfectly. Like, you may not get the runner's high. You may not get the endorphins. You may find it like not as exciting, but it's so, so helpful. There's a huge payoff for your health. Yes. And building muscle can be so important. And I do think, I wonder over time, if people start to journal, they might realize that once they can carry that 10-pound bag into the house, they say like, I feel really good about myself. And maybe our bodies and how we feel doesn't just have to be if we fit into the skinny jeans. And like, look, yes. We all like fitting in the skinny jeans. That's totally okay to like that and want that. But it's nice to give ourselves other things to have as our goals. And I was going to ask you, as you're talking about goals, like, what do you think about the journey as much as you think about hitting the goals? The journey to either self-love or learning about your new body, what are your thoughts about the journey? Obviously, you probably think it's quite important because it's a big part of the journaling. But how do you get people to focus on the journey and not just the end result?
You know, I love this question, and I'm going to think about it for a second, because for me, I think that I do still think of it almost as an end result in terms of loving myself as I get older. Like I can mm-hmm. see watching my mom and, you know, older aunts and things like that. Like I can see how there are different milestones where I'm probably going to have to do this work again. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's a long-term goal, but it's also kind of a short-term goal. Like right now I'm loving yeah. myself in my 50s. I'm really yeah. loving this body. And then in my 60s, or, you know, at some other time, when, you know, gravity does what gravity does and all that kind of stuff, it's like, I can see how there's going to be more of this work to do, how there will be another layer of, okay, now here's another thing that I get to teach myself how to love this.
Yeah.
And then there'll be another one that I'll get to teach myself how to love that. So
I love that.
So yes, I do think that you have to enjoy the journey. I mean, you definitely have to be ready for the junk that's going to come out of your pen. You have to be ready for, it's not going to always feel amazing, but you are going to get those wins along the way of, okay, right now I do actually feel really good in my body. Right now I do, this 53-year-old version of me is amazing. Yeah. And then when something changes again, I'm going to do the work again. I'm going to love that version of me too.
Yeah. And one of the things I think that you can build on is that you can look back at how you journaled and you worked through the changes in your 50s and say like, that was so helpful when I did that work. And it really had a great impact on me. And let's do it again. Yes, it means starting over. But I know that that was really fundamentally important. And I think that one of the big things I've learned from journaling is reading my old journals is amazing. I'll say to myself, how could you ever have private practice? How are you ever going to get out of the rat race? How are you ever going to do this? And it's so amazing to be like, I worked through that. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm wondering, how am I going to scale healthcare? How am I going to do? And it's like, I can see that I journaled and worked through this. So I know that I can do it again. Tell me, what do you love about your 53-year-old body? And what do you wish you could tell your 43-year-old body
You know, I wonder sometimes if I would give spoilers to my 43-year-old self. You know, I didn't know what was coming. Like, I really didn't. I remember my mom going through menopause. Like, all I remember was that she had a lot of hot flashes. I remember her being very angry and having lots of hot flashes.
I know.
And I remember being, you know, in my 20s, I was like, whatever. Like, I didn't think it would ever happen to me. I was so bad.
I know.
Oh, I was so bad.
I know.
So I don't know that I would give spoilers to my 43-year-old self because she was really doing some things and she didn't think this was coming.
Yeah.
And in so many ways, I really am happy with how it happened. I really am happy with, I was right there until I needed to learn this lesson. And then it was hard while I learned the lesson, but also, I mean, that is my journey. One of the things that I love about 53-year-old me is that she was 43-year-old me. And then she had some hard times and now she made it here. And she did this. I mean, kind of like you, it's like, yeah, there are things that I totally used to worry about when I was 43 that I don't even think about anymore. Don't even cross my mind, not even a thing. Mm-hmm. And I love thinking about 63-year-old me is going to look back at 53-year-old me and just be like, okay, you are amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you any spoilers about what's coming up next, but also we've got some stuff to go through.
Yeah.
And we're going to get here and it's going to be amazing here too.
Yeah. That's, I love that. What is your favorite form of exercise now? I have to ask.
So I love walking. I still love being out on my feet, like being on my feet, that repetitive thing. It's such good time in my head. Like it's mental journaling in a way that I love paper journaling, but I solve all the world's problems when I'm out for a walk.
So right? Do I.
Like that's super fun. And I've really embraced the strength training.
Yeah.
I spent a dedicated amount of time telling myself, this is something I'm going to learn how to love. And even if it never feels like running did, it's going to feel like its own thing. And I'm just now after, I'm going to say, well, about a year and a half of like really dedicatedly telling myself, I'm going to look for all the ways that I love this. And then I've been looking for all the ways that I love this. And now I don't have to look for them anymore. I'm like, oh, I actually love this.
Your arms look fantastic.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Like your arms look fantastic. Ah, I can see that definition in that. Like, what's this muscle here? This is the
Shoulder caps.
Trapeze.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're doing the A and T quiz that I was not prepared for.
That's okay. I'm a doctor. I don't even know. Shoulders.
Exactly. That's what I call them too.
Your shoulders look amazing. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
You know,
it is a nice byproduct. I mean, there is a visual effect to strength training that, I mean, for all of our women who were just like, oh, I don't know, I don't burn enough calories. It's like, okay, but when you stick with it, you'll be able to see the strength training in a way that you kind of see cardio, but also kind of don't. Like strength training really does show up on your body.
Mm-hmm. For me, you know, I've done a lot of things over my lifetime in my 20s. And in my 20s, I really loved long distance running. And I think I still would if I had the time. And I do. I love the idea of walking too, because it's something that so many my patients can do every single day. You can stay really consistent. And now I try to work out for 20 minutes a day. And I find that if I do more than 20 minutes, I actually am grumpy, like you said, and I'm 40 going on 41. So, but even already I really realized that more than that actually just doesn't make me feel very good. Yeah. And I kind of, I don't know. So I really stick to like 20 minutes. And then I really don't do a lot of HIIT anymore. I used to do a lot of CrossFit, and I know a lot of people, everyone loves everything, and that's totally great, but.
And good for them. Seriously, love your exercise. Oh my gosh. I'm never going to tell you not to.
Exactly. We'll never tell you not to, but you know, I think listening to my body, I think over time, just the little bit more gentler on my body was just overall better for me. You know, and learning to just kind of change and transition my movement with the stage of my life that I was in. And I know for a lot of people, it's really mental as well. And they, like, if they get injured and they can't exercise, it's so difficult because we do love it. I think we do kind of, I used to call it my dialysis. Like exercise was just my dialysis. So I got everything out and started fresh again.
Yeah.
So tell me, where can they find you and where is your book available?
So book is pre-order right now. Actually depends on when this podcast is coming out. So could still be pre-order, might be available everywhere books are sold.
Everywhere books are sold. Yep, that's what we say. And it definitely should be bundled with Unlock Your Menopause Type by Heather Hirsch, MD. Exactly. They'd be such good books together. Oh my goodness. Yes. And what's your YouTube channel and social media handles?
Yeah. So actually you can find me at my website, which is where you can actually click and find every single thing you ever need to know about me. I'm at getyourgoal.com. Mm-hmm. So that's the easiest place to find like my freebie, which is I have a whole free weight loss program for women over 50 that kind of goes into like this whole, you don't need to eat less and move more. You can simply learn how to love your body, do these things, and it's nice and gentle. Mm-hmm. And then on YouTube, of course, I'm Paula B. And that's actually where you can find me. At this point, you don't even have to spell my name correctly for the Googles to find me everywhere as Paula
B. I know. Well, congratulations on such a successful YouTube channel and social media. I think it's amazing because you're providing so many free resources on YouTube, and you've got a free guide, and people should definitely download that. I will link your website to this podcast, and I think you're going to be out soon. So book might be on pre-order, but gosh, it's middle of May, end of June, you know, get it. And it'll be a fun surprise in a few weeks. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to have you as a guest. And I love podcasting because I just get to meet so many incredible women in this space. And I thank you for your time. I know how valuable it is.
Yeah. And I thank you for the same reason, because this was super fun to be able to chat with you. And I love meeting other women who are getting the message out that menopause isn't like this terrible thing that you have to dread. There are things that you can do for yourself to feel amazing no matter what. And I'm so exciting to be able to connect with you.
Oh, well, thank you. It is really exciting. I think menopause is definitely having a moment, and women are starting to realize there are so many good options, so many good paths that they can look down and people to look up to make this so that it's a really joyous transition, because you're really moving into a part of your life. It is so exciting. And I want you to be able to feel your best and really embrace it. So, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Paula. I hope you guys loved this episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye everyone. If I haven't already done so, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Also, if you love the show, your stars or a quick review could really help other women who are searching for information on menopause and midlife around the globe find this show. If you want to work with me, consider the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. The link for that is in the description to this show. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all your support, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode.